Black Friday's coming up, and we are starting right now with our Black Friday special. You can take advantage of it before Friday or for a couple days afterwards, so act now, don't put it off. 99 cents for a full month of VIP membership, that's $9 off. It's our best offer of the year, and you can go to pwtorch.com/govip and sign up. Enter coupon code BLACKFRIDAY22. That's BLACKFRIDAY22. We are compatible with all the popular podcast apps. You can get our VIP podcast feed on your phone with a click of a link in the sign-up email. If you want to use the native Apple Podcast app on your iPhone, you'll get a confirmation email when you sign up, and you click it, and you're in. No advanced settings, no password, no nothing. It's that simple. All our VIP shows on one feed, including these shows, with the ads and plugs taken out. Edit it out for a streamlined listening experience. pwtorch.com/govip will tell you all the details of what comes with a membership. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Enter coupon code BLACKFRIDAY22. That's BLACKFRIDAY22. Access to all our VIP podcasts, 30-plus years of archives of retro radio shows from the 90s, hundreds of them. Our podcast library dating back over 18 years. In fact, throughout the week, we run our podcast on the VIP podcast feed from 18 years ago this month, including fascinating behind-the-scenes details and news updates on my Keller Hotline, the early Bruce Mitchell audio shows, The Real Deal with Pat McNeil, post-pay-per-view roundtables, and more. You can listen to our coverage during the early era of pro wrestling podcasting throughout the week, in addition to all our current coverage, like The Fix with Todd Martin, Everything with Rich Van, and so much more. Full details at pwtorch.com/govip. pwtorch.com/govip. Enter coupon code BLACKFRIDAY22. That's BLACKFRIDAY22, and that'll take $9 off at checkout. You can apply that to a one-month sub. You can also take $9 off a three-month or one-year sub. Again, the coupon code BLACKFRIDAY22. Act fast, and right away you can hear the post-AEW Full Gear pay-per-view roundtable with Todd Martin, Tyler Sage, and me, and a special episode of Everything with Rich and Wade, where I talked with Rich Van, who was on site at Full Gear, and he gave an in-person report on that experience covering the show as a member of the media for PW Torch. And then, of course, we'll have our Survivor Series roundtable this weekend that I'll be hosting, again, VIP exclusive. pwtorch.com/govip, coupon code BLACKFRIDAY22.
Hello, wrestling fans. You are listening to Wrestling Coast to Coast, a Pro Wrestling Torch daily cast focusing on independent wrestling. I am Chris Maitland, and joining me in this adventure is the man, the myth, the McClelland, Justin McClelland. Justin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well because I didn't try to buy Taylor Swift tickets on Ticketmaster last week.
Oh. It was a heartbreaking event for many of us. I will admit I was one of them.
Well, you obviously segued, teed up a little bit. You had a few thoughts to say about Ticketmaster. I mean, I know it's a terrible monopoly, haven't known it for a long time, but what do you think about Ticketmaster?
I mean, it's a terrible monopoly. It's even worse. It was even made even worse when they bought, you know, the largest concert promoter in the country, which is, you know, Vertical, I believe. Yeah, Vertical monopolization. It's why they made movie theaters. Or movie studios quit owning movie theaters back in the 1930s, although I guess that practice is now back in force, which is kind of nuts, too.
Yeah, because I lived in Queens. I lived by United Artists.
Really?
Yeah, which actually was not too far from the location of Battle Riot from MLW we talked about a few weeks ago. It was in that a few blocks from there.
Oh, okay. United Artists doesn't own MLW, to my knowledge.
So no. That's good. Yes.
So, I guess, while I agree Ticketmaster is terrible, I don't know why people are suddenly aware of this or were surprised is what happened. And my tie into wrestling is this. Like, so if you wanted to sign up for the Taylor Swift tickets, as for many of Ticketmaster's more popular outings, you had to sign up for you could sign up for the quote-unquote pre-sale sale, which is totally nonsensical. Sometimes it's like kind of extortion because you have to have like, you know, be subscribed to or be have some credit card to be able to get to it. But like, as soon as I heard there was a pre-sale sale, I was like, okay, well, that's when all the tickets are going to go, right? Because be honest, the pre-sales are a joke. There's some code, but the code's easily dispersed among people. Like, we see this at WrestleMania every year. The only reason this doesn't happen at WrestleManias is because they hold back a few tickets so they can say, oh, we did this, you know, we had this on sale date and it, you know, sold out in 90 seconds or whatever. So I think the whole system is just a rigged scam. And I guess I'm kind of glad it got exposed. Like, obviously, I wasn't like making TikToks where I was weepy about not being able to get a ticket for this show or any show. And like, also, like, obviously, like, there are going to be a lot of tickets on the market, I'm sure, that, and if you just know how to play the game and have patience, the price will drop, as is usually the case with these things. Maybe not that much. I'm curious about how much the price will drop. The tickets were like crazily priced anyway, as you know, any ticket for a big event show is these days, up to and including WrestleMania, which last I looked, there weren't many tickets of that left.
I'm actually not sure. A couple of my work colleagues very invested in getting Taylor Swift tickets explained to me the entire process. I've been hearing about it for weeks, how you had to get a pre-sale code. There were like 3 million people that logged in to get the code. Only 1 million people got the code.
But then they could have shared, say, code with anybody, right?
That I don't know if you could have shared the code. I think they were unique. They had people in different rooms because you could only get a code for certain venues.
Oh, maybe it was. So it was a little harder than like a WrestleMania pre-sale.
Yeah, so you had to pick the venue that you wanted. And so it wasn't as simple as that. You couldn't just get a code and go, oh, I'll go to Denver. I mean, you know, Taylor Swift is really popular. She's in NFL stadiums, which is...
Yes.
Is crazy to me. Not my type of music, but clearly there's a fan base out there.
Although, ironically, you know, she's coming to Cincinnati Stadium, but that's not the biggest stadium in Ohio.
It is not. She apparently played the Ohio Stadium a few years ago. I've learned a lot about Taylor Swift in the last few days with this. But, yeah, I think the sale was so popular, they actually canceled the general sale. It was supposed to be last week, and they canceled it because Ticketmaster crashed. I think the real issue with Ticketmaster is Ticketmaster was always a monopoly, even before they bought Live Nation. Live Nation made it worse, and the fact that you can buy tickets all around the world, and you can do it on computers, you have a lot of bots going in, you have scalpers going in that make it a very bad process. And I think, as I said colleague of mine who was able to get tickets, said, I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, but if Taylor Swift and the Swifties bring down Ticketmaster, we all should be Taylor Swift fans.
I agree wholeheartedly with that. I mean, there is something nice, like I could buy a ticket for WrestleMania, you know, if I wanted to, without having to drive to SoFi Stadium, or that's a stadium, right? Yeah, Los Angeles, you know, I can buy it here.
Yeah,
but it's also like, you know, I would have it's probably like a $50 surcharge or something crazy.
Yeah, ridiculous fees. And, you know, another of my colleagues' boyfriend was on for 6 hours only to get nosebleed seats. It was 4 to 6 hours in Cincinnati, actually. So my other colleagues were going to Detroit. So I'll be hearing more about this. You know, that's... tour is next year. I mean, the show they're going to are in the summer, so
right.
We'll see what the general sale happens, but yeah, I mean, anything that takes down Ticketmaster is good for me.
Yes, it would be great. It'd be great for wrestling fans, not really indie wrestling fans, since we, you know, rarely have to deal with Ticketmaster.
That is true.
Usually, we deal with like brown paper tickets or just some sort of in-house or operation.
And those,
who do we deal with? I don't even remember, you know?
It depends. Each one does it differently. I'm not sure what Black Label Pro Wrestling does.
No.
I'm sure they have a very good operation. We are reviewing their show from October 29th, 2022 today. That's Black Label Pro's Grapplers of the Black Lagoon, which turned out to be Black Label Pro's, at least currently, last show on IWTV. We had Tyler Edwards, Vice President of Talent Relations, a few weeks ago to preview this show in Slammelton. Slammelton, the first show that was on Fight Plus, where there are several independent promotions have moved to. But we, different scheduling conflicts, we haven't been able to get to the show as early as we'd like, so we decided to do it now. Special Thanksgiving episode, even though there's some Halloween elements there on this one. The show took place in New Albany, Indiana, not too far from Louisville.
Daily Cast listeners, thank you, first of all, for streaming the shows. Be sure you're subscribing. Just search PW Torch in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to pro wrestling podcasts. But while you're at it, if you're not yet, please subscribe to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast and Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Shows. Search Wade Keller and see two logos pop up, a blue one and a red one. The red logo, the post shows, cover Raw and SmackDown each week with a fast turnaround time of a couple hours after the shows end. And also, every Saturday, we present a flashback to our analysis from 5 years ago that week, covering Raw. Jason Paul from ProWrestling.net joins me, and we analyze what happened on Raw 5 years ago. So check out that time capsule every weekend. The Blue Logo Show features the Thursday flagship, plus our first-run interviews, our classic interviews, and our mailbag segments. So, again, search Wade Keller and click subscribe to both the red logo and the blue logo.
Your opening match was Levi Everett versus Crash Jackson. The beginnings of this match was really Levi Everett churning butter, as he does every match.
He's an Amish wrestler, for those unfamiliar with him.
Yes, and Crash Jackson not doing it as well. Him trying to teach him, but then really getting upset. Everett got really upset when Jackson put on his hat to churn the butter because, you know, that was really – not only was he not churning butter incorrectly, but he was also – using his hat. So that's a double way to upset Everett. And this led to the match beginning. I thought it was a good match to open the show. Good action. And it ended up, Levi Everett ended up winning with a diving headbutt off the top rope in 7:42. When the match was over, he churned some butter correctly. Levi Everett is your winner.
Yeah, I like this match well enough. Like, as you noted, it started very, very silly with a butter churning lesson and the crowd actually chant, the crowd and the referee chanting along with the churning of said butter. One of the announcers were Percy Davis and Val Capone, like you said, I think, and Val questioned the legality of the butter churning, but they weren't actually, you know, using it against each other in any manner. So I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. I guess there was kind of a cheap shot by Levi towards the end once the butter churn had been set down, but it wasn't anything terrible. They brawled outside a bit. Crash slammed Levi hard on the apron. That looked painful. And Crash is billed as a whole lot of dude. He is a very large gentleman. Levi looks small next to him, but really, really isn't. You know, they did a big slugging sequence that Levi won. Levi hit a very impressive pop-up spine buster, which I think you could probably attribute to his strong barn building arms. Levi, even the churning actually played into a submission attempt because Levi does this like armbar thing that's churning the arm like butter, which I thought was a fun kind of incorporation of the gimmick. Gave them kudos for that. Crash did a superplex, which Levi kind of bounced up off of. He's a large man, so it's impressive to see him do that. Crash tried a you know, this pop-up move, but his arm was too churned to fully hit it. So good psychology there. It was, like you said, it was a hard-hitting, exciting match. It was a bit of comedy at the start, but it got serious once the fighting went. Afterwards, I really thought Crash was going to hit Levi with the churn just because I watch, you know, too much WWE, but I was happy to see sportsmanship was the rule of the day, and they were just churning buddies.
Second match on the show was a four-way tag match. By the way, thank you for mentioning the announcers. I did not mention the announcers at the beginning, so thank you for putting that out there. The match was between Goth Brothers, Hot and Dog.
Gotch Brothers.
Sorry?
Gotch. You said Goth.
Goth, yes.
That'd be a whole different gimmick.
Yes. The Gotch Brothers, Hot and Dog, the Natter-Day Saints, and Bulking Season. I believe, was it Natter-Day Saints who tried to pin each other?
Yes.
That was the highlight of the match for me. Unfortunately, that happened in the first minute. Not my favorite match on the show. And Hot and Dog won with a razor's edge in the neck breaker in 10 minutes and 40 seconds.
I think I'm pretty sure these are all fairly new guys to wrestling. I hope so, based on some of what we saw. But let's be honest, they had some very, very indie gimmicks. Even though Natter-Day Saints, Bradley Prescott and Adam Slade, that one made me chuckle. The Gotch Brothers, unless it's like some deal where their name really is Gotch, that's definitely a bit because one of them, Joey, has like this mullet and wears tie-dye, and I think he threw candy out as he was coming down. I couldn't quite see, but they kept talking about it raining candy, which, as noted, it was like 2 days before Halloween. He's not just, you know, trying to lure kids to his van or anything. Balking Season, Hot and Dog. So supposedly one of the Megabyte Ronnie, they said was a ranked competitive eater. I've long been fascinated with competitive eating. A long time ago, I got to interview like Joey Chestnut when he came to our local theme park to eat some chili spaghetti. That's a generic term for Skyline chili, which is a thing people in Cincinnati love and everyone else in the world hates. Nevertheless, I don't know. I didn't actually look up Ronnie's stats, but Megabyte Ronnie, I hope he's a competitive eater. His partner was Matt Brannigan, who was called King of the OnlyFans, which is a gimmick I am very hesitant to explain on a family-friendly podcast, and I will leave it at that. Balking Season were pretty strong men, as you would expect. So this was the match where I first noticed the floor. They're like, I think they're in a brewery. And the floor is like, you know, just hard, poured concrete floor. Well, you know, no padding, nothing else, just cold, unforgiving. And everyone on this, it was so hard. You're like, man, no one's going to possibly do a dive. But we actually got several dives. But everyone, no matter their skill level, works so hard to catch somebody because they would die if they didn't. And even these guys who were fairly inexperienced and not great, they were doing dives, and you'd see the dudes run over and catch them. Say if they catch dudes on their, you know, like there'd be a whole group of them and catch a guy on their back. It was sort of an entertaining little subplot to watch as throughout the whole show. So let's see. During the match, I like the move the Gotches did where I believe Jacob. So they had some guy in the corner. Joey bent over. Jacob ran at Joey and like flipped over him into doing a cannonball. There was a kind of lengthy purple nurple spot between Matt Brannigan and the Gotches. The Gotches really took quite a lot of abuse. Oh, and they also noted this was Hot and Dog's first ever team up. Hot and Dog being the competitive eater and the Matt Brannigan, the guy whose gimmick we can't discuss. So, like I said, they did quite a few dives. Joey did like a rope walk. Joey Gotch did a rope walk jump onto a bunch of dudes. That one was a little scary because he overshot a little. Brannigan did a front flip tope and landed just perfectly on everyone, which was pretty smart. Then we got a weird, like, chicken fight spot, which I can't believe Chris didn't like. And it ended up – it started with just two guys in a chicken fight kind of pose, and then, you know, a third team joined in. And then finally, Balking Season, who are the larger dudes, they did it, but it's actually the smaller dude on bottom. And for whatever reason, the ref was trying to break this up. He got frustrated, so a second ref ran in. They got into – they did the chicken fight pose to finally break everyone up. There was an eight-way noggin knocker, which I actually, given how this match was going, I thought might be the end. Like, they would just – no one would be able to answer the bell, and it would just be a draw. I kind of think that would have been a more clever finish, or in line with this match in some ways. Hot Dog had a cool finisher, actually, I thought. They gave Bradley, like, a razor's edge into a neck breaker. You know, we've seen it before, but it's pretty awesome. This was very indie humor, like you said. And I was kind of thinking back other Black Label Pro shows. They kind of do, like, some very, I would guess you would call indie-rific early matches. You know, like an Amish guy who churns butter, or a match where there's a four-way chicken fight. So this definitely was following that trend. I think there are new guys. It was not like this. It was not this epic, great match. But there were some okay spots to it.
Support us on Patreon starting at $4.99. Get these shows ad-free and bonus VIP content. That's $4.99 on Patreon. Patreon.com/PWTorchVIP. That's Patreon.com/PWTorchVIP. That is the quickest, cheapest, and easiest way to support us and enjoy these shows with a streamlined listening experience. The Wade Keller post shows, podcasts, and the PW Torch daily casts, plus some random VIP bonus content. Just a reminder, in case you sped past it or missed it, we've got our Black Friday sale going on this week. It has already started. 99 cents for a full month of VIP membership. Go to pwtorch.com/govip and enter coupon code BLACKFRIDAY22. That's BLACKFRIDAY22. That takes $9 off any VIP subscription. So that brings a 1 month sub down to 99 cents. You can also take $9 off a 3 month or 1 year sub if you want to commit to a longer subscription. pwtorch.com/govip, coupon code BLACKFRIDAY22.
Rohit Raju, aka Hakeem Zayn, joined on commentary for the next two matches. And I would like to say, as someone who's been to quite a few breweries in my life in many different states, whenever I go to a new city, I like to sample some of their local beer. But I've never been at a wrestling show at a brewery. So maybe in 2023, I can change that, go to a wrestling show in a brewery. We'll see if I can make that happen.
That's a good goal. I can't think of, you know, many around here. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a place where it could happen in the Ohio area. And if you know of one, we would love to hear you. We would love to hear from you. And please drop us a line at torchcoasttocoast@gmail.com.
Third match on the show, Jake Something versus Dan the Dad. This is basically like the matchup between like the star athlete and the nerd. Yeah. But Jake Something.
It was more serious than I thought it would be, actually.
It was. I mean, Jake Something started the match kind of disrespecting Dan the Dad. And the thing about Dan the Dad is, again, he has this odd gimmick is he's like a dad, which I find hilarious that he wears New Balances and has glasses. I mean, I do wear New Balances, but I don't wear glasses. But the thing about Dan the Dad as a wrestler, he actually has some fighting spirit and tries to do well for himself. And he wouldn't let Jake Something's bullying hold him down. He actually was able to get a pretty good advantage on Something until Something had to hit him low behind the referee's back, leading him to hit the void and winning in 10 minutes and 12 seconds. Jake Something is your winner, but he made Dan the Dad look good in the process since he had to cheat to win.
So, yeah, like I said, I thought this would be more of a – I thought this would be more of a comedy match than it was. You didn't get – I've seen more Dan the Dad matches than you would think in the past few months. And, like, he didn't do a lot of his, like, really dad spots in this match. I will note that we're taping this a couple days early due to the holiday. So AEW's Full Gear was just the other night, and I was very horrified when the Elite stole Dan the Dad's entrance without credit. They, you know, they came out to Kansas's Carry On My Wayward Son, which is suitable dad rock, and it was indeed Dan. It's Dan's entrance. It's an awesome song, in my opinion. Probably maybe the pinnacle of prog rock. So Rohit Raju was really good on commentary too. He was not out there to get himself over. When the match was started, Rohit noted that most fans probably think Jake will run through Dan the Dad, which is what I thought. But Dan had a unique style, and he had plenty of tricks up his sleeve. And then they brawled outside, and Dan won. Dan has this thing where his glasses get knocked off, and that's sort of like a thing that makes him angry. But Val, in a scandalous note, claimed that Dan had gotten LASIK and really didn't even need the glasses anymore. So Dan kept trying to clothesline Jake. Jake's a big dude. Jake did the like teeter but won't go down spot. Jake did a series of short arm clotheslines while maintaining wrist control. Dan hit Jake with a Thez press and then a spinning side slam. Dan escaped a boss man slam attempt and drop kicked Jake into the corner in what I thought was a really nice sequence. Jake hit that sit out power bomb that I thought was the finish, but it only got two. Dan put his glasses back on and started powering up, which I was like, it's a reverse Superman scenario. Usually Superman takes his glasses off to do the Superman stuff. Dan hit a draping DDT, which is a move I find interesting because it looks so devastating. You think it should be a finisher, but I don't know if it's ever been a finisher, and not in recent years. It definitely hasn't. It's always like somebody's setup move. And indeed, here it wasn't. Dan didn't even go for a pin, I don't think. And like you said, finally, old Jake got the low blow and hit his boss man slam for the pin. I thought the match was fine. It was hard for me to get my head around it not being a comedy match because of the Dan the Dad of it all. But he actually is pretty good at doing serious wrestling. So, yeah, like you said, I like this.
Yeah, I liked it as well. I wanted to specify that. That was probably my third favorite match on the show. My favorite match on the show was next, Adam Priest versus Lee Moriarty. This match begins sort of almost like an ROH pure style wrestling match where they're trying to trade holes. Moriarty gets a little bit frustrated and therefore resorts to, not necessarily cheating, but being very aggressive, including backdropping Priest on the floor, which seemed bad. There are no mats outside the ring. They have a really good match back and forth. Once the pure wrestling stops, they end up increasing the aggression, which I thought was really enjoyable. Priest looked good, but Moriarty was able to lock on the Border City Stretch, tribute to one of his mentors, Alex Shelley, and he was able to submit Priest in 13 minutes and 31 seconds. I thought this was a match that would make Jonathan Gresham proud at the beginning because of the fact that they did pure wrestling within it. Went away from that. But either way, my favorite match on the show, Lee Moriarty is your winner.
Yeah, I thought this match was great. It was my favorite match on the show. Like I said, this, the past couple of Black Label Pros shows we watched, like I said, they sort of had like kind of a indie-ish start to the show and then got more. At some point, there would be a line of demarcation where they got serious. And this was definitely that line for this show, I thought. Although maybe, I guess not, like the last match was sort of like borderline more serious. So maybe I need to rethink that opinion. But soldiering on, like you said, they did like this big pure lockup, pure style lockup to start. And I liked it because they were like, so in this lockup, they didn't get out of it. They were throwing each other around while kind of staying in the lockup and even rolling to the floor, which is a spot I always love. Moriarty was in a straitjacket choke, and then he flipped over Priest and reversed it to his own, which I thought was really cool. And they do like a couple crazy pinfall stuff sequences off of that, like you never see. So yeah, I was Priest, whenever we've seen him, usually in like Southeast wrestling promotions, he's a heel, you know, he's this technical guy, but he's, you know, very cocky in the heel. And he did not work like that here. It was kind of hard to tell who was trying to be the heel, because like you said, Lee got frustrated at one point and pushed Priest around, which sort of would seem like a heelish thing to me. But then Priest sort of took over and did some like rope assisted moves, which is kind of heelish. So I don't know. I guess they were just frustrated. The story, according to the announcers, was that Adam had gotten in Lee's head. So they start Adam Priest. He ran Lee into the middle turnbuckle, but somehow the momentum caused him to fly out of the ring too. It was a weird spot. It didn't look all that good, in my opinion. This was one case they did take a bump on the floor where Moriarty backdropped Priest onto the floor, which looked painful. Then we got a classic, you know, Moriarty sits a guy in a chair and chops him and then does a running boot. I was getting kind of worried at that point. We did a double count out, so I was glad they got back in the ring. Lee did like this kind of weird double underhook suplex into a bridge, sort of like the classic perfect plex dilemma where the move itself kind of pulls the guy's shoulders up and shouldn't be a pin, but they still counted it as that. And the story was like Moriarty had hurt his neck. He was trying to do a bridge off of that, and it just hurt his neck further. So Priest did a Rude Awakening style neck breaker and a rolling butterfly lock, kind of like Yoshihashi, I believe, that almost got a pin off of it. It wasn't a submission, so that was definitely different. But then Lee reversed to his own submission move for the win. Like I said, I thought this was a really great match. Top technical wrestling with a little brawling, and it just the 13 minutes flew by.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at pwboom.com. Once again, that's pwboom.com.
Fifth match on the show was a six-man match. Bang Brothers and Trey Lamar versus Twist and Flip and Isaiah Moore. This was your typical six-man tag spot fest. A lot of moves in the ring, a lot of dives. At some point, it gets a bit hard to follow who's in doing what. But I thought otherwise this match was pretty good. The finish was when the Bang Brothers did a double spear, which they tried to do before on Flip. It's part of Twist and Flip. And then they hit stereo 450s. Lamar finished up with a top rope elbow. And Bang Bros and Trey Lamar are your winners in 12 minutes and 15 seconds. I enjoyed this match. Definitely a match for those who like as many spots as you can do in a 10 to 12 minute period.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a tag team called Twist and Flip, I think you know what you're getting into. Flip's quote-unquote real name is Darren Fly, and Twist is Kurt Cobain. He spells it Cobain with a K, so I'm not sure if he's doing a Nirvana riff or not. I don't think he was, but almost right away the announcer called him Kurt Cobain, and Val had to correct him, so I wasn't the only one confused by the situation. It started, they did some sweet, super fast stuff. They did a nice sequence where Darren Fly, who's Flip, that's very confusing, looked like he did like a rope bounce thing, and it looked like he was going to lose his balance, but Bang, Davey Bang kind of subtly saved him while also then appearing to take the move. Like you said, there was a lot of high flying. Trey Moore hit an awesome springboard dropkick on Bang. Not Trey Moore, Isaiah Moore. The Bang Brothers hit about 10 splashes in a row on Isaiah Moore, but Flip and Trist broke up the pin and were able to drag Moore to their corner. Bang Brothers tried for like their somersault spear thing. Like it's hard to explain. Like you flip a guy around and try to do a spear, but Fly kneed poor Bang right in the face. That looked pretty painful. Cobain here did a moonsault to the floor, and Lamar and Matthews ran to catch him and save his life. Another of these instances I had talked about earlier. Flip and Twist did a cool looking move where one guy, he suplexed his partner, and the partner was in midair and turned it into like a 450 splash. I thought that was really cool looking. The end looked kind of painful because Lamont tried to frog splash Fly, but Fly was selling his 450 splash from the Bang Brothers. So he kind of rolled on his side and took the splash on his side, which looked like it hurt quite a bit. Ouch. But the match was good, like you said. It was kind of disjointed in places, but there were lots of cool double and triple teams. This gave me a good first impression of Flip and Twist, even though I think the name was kind of dumb. But I could watch more of them. And I think the Bang Brothers are a very underrated team, in my opinion. They're really good. I've seen several of their matches kind of in the Midwest mostly, and they always do a good job. They were supposed to be in the T4 this weekend, but unable to make it, and not sure what's going to happen with them from there, but hopefully they get into the tournament.
And we should also note that as you mentioned, the T4 Summit, we'll be not covering the Bang Bros match. We also will not be covering the match from Blitzkrieg. Very hard to say.
Yeah, Blitzkrieg, we won't cover it because we can't say the name.
Can't say the name. It also wasn't up at time of recording, so we will cover that next week, as well as the match from Beyond Wrestling. It'll be a T4 Summit match that we should be able to cover next week. So we'll have two T4 Summit matches as we get closer to the T4 Summit quarters, semis, and finals taking place at Restival at the end of the year. The sixth match, Billy Starks versus Brogan Finley. Starks came out, newly turned heel, they mentioned, and was pretty aggressive towards Finley, as aggressive as she could be, and really had most of the match. Hit a bunch of moves on Finley, thought she had the win. Finley was able to hit a tombstone on Starks, pinning her in 6 minutes and 4 seconds. Starks ended up losing what was really the aggressor in the match. Finley only hit a couple moves, but one still, I assume more to play out on the Billy Starks heel turn, but did not end up on the winning side today. Brogan Finley is your winner.
So Brogan is one of the sons of Dave and or brothers of David Finley, depending on who you're most familiar with. We saw him do a heel turn in Action Wrestling a couple weeks ago. But in this promotion, he's still clearly a face. I remember we saw that tournament. I can't remember. It was in Tennessee. I can't remember the name of it. A few months ago, where Billy did like an absolute crazy dive to the floor on Robert Martyr. And I was already thinking about these dives now. So I was like, oh, gosh, I hope she doesn't do a crazy dive like that to this floor, because she'd be risking her life. But she did not, thankfully. It was a weird disconnect because I don't think I've ever seen Billy Starks as like out and out heel before. And she still has her very like bright color. Like she still looks like a face in every way. Like she's, you know, just like wears the bright colors, the frilly outfits, you know, it's very like this. It has the accoutrement of a kind of happy go lucky young woman. But she was, you know, trying to be vicious here, and she wasn't bad at it. Once I could get over the disconnect in my mind, I thought she made a pretty she was pretty believable as a heel, because she had turned up the aggression quite a bit. She had a great tiger suplex for a two count. Rogan did like a backdrop that Billy did not take very well, just didn't get up very high in the air. Brogan hit a blue thunderbomb, or Brogan thunderbomb, for two. Like you said, Billy really, it was almost like getting to be a squash. Like Billy was taking most of the match, and suddenly Brogan reversed a tombstone for the pin. I liked the match okay for what it was, but I don't know. The end was kind of out of nowhere. I think I would have liked it to be a little longer. I thought there's more to say with it, I guess. And I don't know, like, if you have this freshly turned wrestler, I'm not sure they should start losing very quickly. They also noted, like, Billy has a world title match with the Black Label Pro world champ who could possibly be Calvin Tankman. We'll see by the end of this review, which I would absolutely love to see Billy Starks and Calvin Tankman.
That would be definitely an interesting match. I mean, there was a size differential in the main event, but and we'll get to that momentarily, but that would be...
And Billy would be the heel in that match. Think about that.
That would be interesting.
A PW Torch VIP membership doesn't just give you ad-free access to these shows and a ton of other VIP-exclusive podcasts throughout the week, but you also gain access to our unmatched, vast library of wrestling history, our contemporaneous week-to-week coverage through our Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletters dating back to the late 1980s, along with streaming and download access to hundreds of retro radio shows from the 1990s, including some of my interviews with wrestling's top newsmakers in the 90s, and also our podcast library dating back to the year 2003. There's no larger, longer-spanning pro wrestling podcast library than that comes with a PW Torch VIP membership, now approaching 20 years of podcasting. Go VIP and dive into our post-pay-per-view roundtables, our coverage of some of your favorite eras of wrestling, top-name long-form interviews, and special format podcasts that we've done throughout the years. pwtorch.com/govip. We have a streamlined sign-up form, and you can pay with PayPal or directly with your credit card or debit card in 1 or 2 minutes. From right now, you can be a VIP member and diving into our library, pwtorch.com/govip.
The seventh match on the show was for the Black Label Pro Midwest Championship. This had Rip City Rules, which is basically a street fight.
Joshua Bishop
is your champion defending against Cole Radrick. I actually did not get a time for this match because I don't recall the bell ringing, because as soon as Bishop came out, Radrick attacked him. And because it was Rip City Rules, they could fight outside, bring in weapons. There was never any bell that I heard of, so no time on this one. This was
I have the time at 7:30. I don't know exactly how I got that, but we'll say 7:30.
Sounds good to me. I'll take it. This was a hardcore match. In some ways, the storyline was a bit similar to the Dan the Dad, Jake Something matches that you had a bigger dude versus a smaller dude, where at some points the smaller dude was trying really hard at other times and getting a lot of moves and being effective. So at certain points, the big dude was almost no-selling the smaller dude's offense. And Bishop was attacked at the beginning of the match, but was able to come out on top. He ended up hitting Radrick with a powerbomb through a door and pinned him then. I think he called it the 187, I believe. And Joshua Bishop is your winner, retaining the Black Label Pro Midwest Championship.
I did not think much of this match. It was mostly, I thought, just dudes hitting each other with chairs. So it wasn't, I don't know, like Cole Radrick has a cult following in indie wrestling, but I've never really gotten into it. I think it's because he takes a lot of crazy abuse, I think. And I don't know, like that's not always a great reason for people to get behind you, but it is a way to get people behind you. And in here, like he took a couple of pretty sick, like chair shots to the head. I thought that, you know, you probably should not be doing. Like you said, there's a Percy Davis noted, like it started, Bishop really was kind of beating Radrick around the ring. Percy Davis noted, you can hear Cole yelping, and I don't mean leaving a review for how great Black Label Pro is. That's a pretty good line. Cole did a drop toe hold Bishop into a chair, wedged into the turnbuckle. And then he did a 619 kicking. Oh, Bishop did that to Cole. And then Bishop did a 619 kicking the chair into Radrick's face. Bishop did a cool throwing DVD, but it looked kind of like he had hurt his leg in the process. Cole naturally set up two chairs and tried to move into it, but instead got a Falcon Arrow into the chairs. Cole did a lion salt onto a trash can, which doesn't bend, so he just smashed his face into it, which looked pretty painful and would not hurt the guy since, you know, you didn't actually make contact with him. This is where Bishop threw a couple chairs at Roderick's head, which I did not like. Cole did a kind of Death Valley driver through another pair of chairs for a two count. Cole tried a lion salt, but Bishop caught him, powerbombed him through a door in the corner. For the pin at 7:24, it was a weapons match, but at least it was short.
The next match was a weapons match, too. Now, this match that we just talked about for the Midwest Pro Championship, I knew was a hardcore match. Did you know that this match was a hardcore match? Was that announced?
I do not believe so, no. I never heard it announced. I just noted they started hitting each other with stuff.
And they didn't disqualify anybody, so therefore it counted. So this is Shazza McKenzie versus Sawyer Reck, a hardcore match, whether it was scheduled or not. It ended up becoming one. This match had a lot of violence to it. It was very comparable to the previous match. A lot of people hitting each other very hard. A lot of rough spots with chairs that looked very painful. Sawyer Reck ended up coming up on top, doing a double arm, double-handed choke slam on McKenzie onto a chair in 7 minutes and 44 seconds. Sawyer Reck is your winner.
This match was scary as heck. This lived up to the Halloween billing because I kept thinking these women were going to kill each other. And not in a good way, in like they were sloppy and missing moves kind of way. Sawyer is like, she's very tall. She has a good look to her, and so she has really long legs, so she can do like these cool high kicks. I think she seems green, but I think she has a lot of potential. Shazza, we saw a few weeks ago fighting AC Mack, and I didn't think she looked great there. And that was on an action wrestling show, and I did not think she looked great here either. So it starts like Shazza rolls outside. She's trying to sneak around with a chair in like this almost cartoonish Repo Man way. But they both had chairs, tried to hit each other. Sawyer no-selled a chair shot and just beat on Shazza some. Shazza looked like she hit Sawyer really hard in the head with a chair. Sawyer kind of got her hand up, but it didn't look like she blocked it all the way. Then, like, there's this move where Shazza gave Sawyer, like, a rolling face buster. Like, you're in a body vice, and you're supposed to flip forward, and it flips the other person forward. But they were too close to the rope, so it sent Sawyer's face into the ropes, which looked extremely painful. Sawyer suplexed Shazza through a pair of chairs. Mostly one chair, though, took the brunt, and you could see the ref clearly, like, holding it to stabilize it. Shazza cross-bodied Sawyer through the chair that had previously survived. I thought the announcers were good for most of the show, but I thought Percy Davis was pretty annoying in this match. He was just really overboard in his excitement every move. He was like, he was the one doing the yelping in this case. It was kind of grating after a while. Shazza escaped. Sasha tried to back suplex. Sawyer escaped. She double chokeslammed Sawyer onto a chair. For the pin, I don't know. Like I said, I was not impressed with this match.
Just a reminder, in case you sped past it or missed it, we've got our Black Friday sale going on this week. It has already started. 99 cents for a full month of VIP membership. Go to pwtorch.com/govip and enter coupon code BLACKFRIDAY22. That's BLACKFRIDAY22. That takes $9 off any VIP subscription. So that brings a one-month sub down to 99 cents. You can also take $9 off a three-month or one-year sub if you want to commit to a longer subscription. pwtorch.com/govip, coupon code BLACKFRIDAY22.
In 2012, NXT transitioned into the developmental system and ultimately the brand you see today. On the Torch VIP podcast, NXT 8 Years Back, we'll be taking a weekly look at this page in NXT's early history.
Join Kelly Wells and me, Tom Stout, from PWT Talks NXT every Saturday as we go 8 years back to the day to track NXT's rising talents and why they did or didn't work out, exclusively for PW Torch VIP members.
The main event of the show for the Black Label Championship, champion Calvin Tankman defending against Alec Price. We've seen Alec Price in a lot of independents, mostly in the Northeast. Now he's moving into the Midwest. Calvin Tankman, one of our favorites. We will be talking about one of his matches on our VIP show. I thought that these two had a very entertaining match. They were, you know, Price was a very clear heel. Tankman was a babyface. Tankman's a bigger guy. So Price still had to do some moves from behind, being the smaller person, but he never gave up being the heel in any of that. And he actually was able to come back a few times. Tankman injured his leg at one point toward the finish was Price being on the rope, not able to do a jump off of it. He leaps off the rope too late. Tankman catches him, not for the first time. Hits the Tankman driver. Calvin Tankman is your winner, retaining the Black Label Pro Championship. I enjoyed this match a lot. A definitely good style contrast, but very entertaining in the way the match was laid out and put together.
Was this your second favorite match on the show?
This is my second favorite match of the show, yes.
Yeah, I would. That's how I ranked it. Yeah, I thought it was good. I was, like you noted, like Tankman is so much bigger than Price, but the fans were still way behind Tankman and hated Price, you know, even though like it goes against the underdog psychology. So I think that means both guys are doing their jobs pretty good to be able to keep that up. Like you said, and Tankman's like a very fun big guy. He's really great, actually. You know, he has, for his size, he's very agile, like Ed, I think he has some. He has a lot of charisma and definitely connects with fans. So, yeah, I'd never seen any Tankman matches before we started doing this podcast, but he's definitely one of the guys I've been impressed with as we watch more of him. So, like you said, it started. It was the classic like size versus speed sort of match. Price was able to use his speed to not get hurt, but he was also not hurting Tankman. Tankman did a cool like kip up out of the corner, but he got caught with a super kick. So Price finally got unlucky. I guess he couldn't outmaneuver Tankman anymore. He tried to dive, but Tankman powerbombed him onto the apron, but in a safe way. Like he didn't powerbomb him onto the corner part, just sort of on the flat part. Then he powerbombed him into the post, which looked more painful. Price did some funny selling when he was beeled and he was just like moaning in pain that I think helped make him a heel because he, you know, seemed sort of weak and cowardly. He also was jawing with fans a lot before the match started, which I think helped keep the fans off his side. Tankman did like, they called it a pounce, but it was really a single shoulder tackle, the pounce you come at from the side. Price did like a 360 sell off of it. Price tried to springboard crossbody, but Calvin caught him. Price was able to reverse that into a spinning bulldog or tilt-a-whirl headlock driver, the announcer called it. I think it's just a bulldog, although I was thinking, like, you don't really see bulldogs much anymore. It's sort of a move. I can't think of a lot of guys who do it right now on the main scene. Price tried a slam. That was not very bright. It went about as well for him as you would think. Price finally took out Calvin's knee and does like a short Rana, or the announcer called it a short Rana DDT, which I was worried he had forgotten how to call moves at that point. Tankman tried a pop-up elbow strike, but Price, he did something. I wasn't sure what. The camera missed it, but Price was able to take Tankman down. Price did a great jumping springboard enziguri, and Tankman got this glassy-eyed sell like he was out. Price, though, kept trying these moves. He'd get caught. Like he finally got caught in the Tankman driver for the pin. Match was really good. Maybe they did a few too many times where it was like Price would try a flying move and get caught. I think three or four times it happened, it seemed a little gratuitous. But both guys, like I said, they're great because, you know, for the roles they were in, they were able to keep the fans, you know, cheering for Tankman and not liking Alec Price.
Yeah, and I agree with you. That's a testament to both of these wrestlers. They've come in with their characters, and they're sticking to them. And the fans are buying in. I think we've talked a lot, my pet peeves in wrestling, and the sort of, there are no heels and faces and shades of gray. And I really don't believe that. I think you need people to cheer for, people to boo. You know, there's emotion in it, just like with any kind of sporting event. It is better when you have somebody rooting for and somebody rooting against. And I think these two, even with the size differential, were able to put on a really good show and accentuate that. So kudos to them. And kudos to Black Label Pro Wrestling. This was their last show on IWTV. They've moved over to Fight Plus, but I'm sure we will cover them more in the future, and hopefully, if schedules allow, we'll maybe make a show at some point, especially, you know, depending on if they have some good stouts at that brewery.
Yeah, this was, I think we've seen better. The last Black Label show I thought was better. They had Tom Lawler and Kevin Koo on it. I think we covered it, geez, back in April probably. And I don't know, this one was okay. There were some good matches, and there were some, you know, it was hit or miss. There were some good matches, and there were some not great matches, but such as many wrestling cards, no matter the level you're at. And I think I like them for the most part. I think they have a good mix. They offer a lot of variety in their matches. They use a lot of good guys. So yeah, it's a promotion I look forward to covering more of.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Yeah, I mean, I would have to say you are correct. It probably wasn't their best show. We've seen better efforts from them. But I still enjoyed the show. I guess for me, the matches that I enjoyed, which I think I mentioned I really, really enjoyed, maybe that put a shadow over, or maybe that made me kind of forget or discount some of the other matches. But
well, that's good. I mean, it's always good. It's good to leave with a positive thing. You know, they... Yeah, like, you know, definitely the main event was great. That Moriarty-Adam Priest match was great. Even the opener was very good. So, yeah, I agree. Or Jake Something and Dan the Dad was also good. So, yeah, I think the promotion's doing its job if you leave with a positive feeling about it.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the things that bothers me about wrestling, and I think the show, for me, doesn't really accentuate this feeling for me, but it's like, definitely a lot of my feeling of the show is based on the fact that, A, the match that I heard about first, when I first heard about the show being billed, which is Adam Priest and Lee Moriarty, and then the show that was the match that was the main event, Alec Price against Calvin Tankman, were my two favorite matches. I think in my mind, because those two matches were the ones I was looking forward to the most, they ended up being my two favorite matches, and therefore I enjoyed the show because everything else was kind of gravy. I think that's kind of the hard part nowadays with wrestling, and people want to have this stacked show, but it's difficult to keep everything up, going up, up more and more. And the longer the show is, it's harder for a match, you know, 4 or 5 hours from the start to keep the crowd up as a match that happened at the beginning. But that's probably a separate issue, more than we could talk about today.
Sure.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Did you know we also have a website? PWTorch.com. Daily news updates, editorials, and my live TV coverage covering Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, and my live pay-per-view coverage for WWE and AEW. Create a tab or bookmark, make it a daily stop, visit us throughout the day, every day, to keep up on breaking news and more. That's PWTorch.com.
Next week on Wrestling Coast to Coast, we'll be talking about Big Time Wrestling, Return of the Dragon. The last match for Ricky Steamboat, teaming with FTR, to go up against Arn Anderson's Four Horsemen of Brock Anderson, Jay Lethal as Black Machismo, and a mystery partner is probably Jeff Jarrett, because Jeff Jarrett has been in every major promotion, so why not this one too?
He just loves working.
Also scheduled to be on the show, The Rock and Roll Express last match in Dorton Arena, a very legendary arena in North Carolina, against the Briscoes. And an appearance by the Steiner Brothers. So that's a very exciting show. I'm very excited. That show will take place on Sunday, November 27th. There should be a report on pwtorch.com. After that show, it is available on Fight TV. After that, we will be doing King of the Indies, which took place a little bit too early for us to record on our little early schedule this week. So we will do that show next week. And we have a couple other more exciting shows heading into the holidays and into the new year. We mentioned earlier that we were going to discuss a match from Freelance Wrestling because it was supposed to have a T4 Summit match. That match did not take place. But we still have a few matches from that show to discuss for VIP. We will get to that in a moment. But first, did you see any emails that we got this week?
Yeah, I noticed that Rich Fan indeed told me I was crazy. Rich, you know, contributor across the board, PW Torch. I'm sure everyone knows him. And I couldn't remember the context of why I told people to email me and tell you I was crazy.
Yeah, I don't remember either, but, you know, you said...
I think it had to do with the me liking the question mark match.
Probably. Probably, that yes. That's what it was, yes.
Okay. So, yeah. So, you know, obviously, others can feel free to tell me I'm crazy for a variety of things. Like, maybe they see the Bulldog happening a lot in modern-day wrestling, or... I forget what else I was plugging today already. Just anything. Like, do you like macaroni and cheese with your Thanksgiving dinner? I'd love to know. And so you can email us at torchcoasttocoast@gmail.com. Maybe you have other questions that aren't related to Thanksgiving or matches or promotions you'd like us to check out. Or maybe you just want to tell us we're crazy. And we'd love to hear from you. Again, it's torchcoasttocoast@gmail.com.
Thanksgiving is a great tradition of wrestling, going back to NWA Starrcade, and that was always something that people looked forward to, and a lot of territories. Now, not so much. I mean, those Survivor Series were started as a Thanksgiving tradition. I can't recall if Survivor Series was ever on Thanksgiving. I remember it being on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
It was originally on Thanksgiving, specifically to mess with Starrcade's pay-per-view.
Starrcade 87. Starrcade 87, yeah. And Survivor Series is on near Thanksgiving still, on the Saturday, I believe.
It's after Thanksgiving for once.
Did you do your plugs?
Yeah. I mean, I did the email, and Twitter may not be there by the time this airs. Who knows?
That's right. You're not plugging your Twitter. I will still plug my Twitter. I'm at Mind of Maitland. I'm still there. I'll be tweeting about the World Cup on a delay, because I'm watching on delay. I'll be tweeting about anything else that comes to my mind, and maybe tweeting about Twitter ending. I actually wanted to...
They think World Cup might be one of the things that kills Twitter.
Yeah, I wanted my... I think my last tweet... I know I've retweeted and I've replied, so I guess it doesn't count, but I wanted my last tweet to be how much I enjoyed seeing Bobby Fulton at NWA pay-per-view Hard Times 3. But I've tweeted after that, so maybe I'll have to tweet about the Fantastics again. But who knows when Twitter's going to fall apart. It's on its way. But I'm still there for now. If that changes, I will let you know. Right now, we're going to pivot to VIP to talk about a few matches from Freelance Wrestling, including a match with Calvin Tankman versus Brian Keith. To hear Justin and I talk about that, you have to be a VIP member. To become one, check out membership info at pwtorch.com/govip, where the daily casts are presented with ads and plugs removed, plus VIP exclusive content, 30-plus years of newsletter archives, 15-plus years of podcast archives, and hundreds of retro radio shows from the 1990s, plus daily VIP exclusive podcasts, a new weekly newsletter, and an ad-free web browsing experience. Again, that's pwtorch.com/govip. Justin McClelland, I'm Chris Maitland. Thank you, AMR, and thank you to all our Daily Cast listeners, and have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back next week to talk about Big Time Wrestling's Return of the Dragon. But now it's time for VIP.
Black Friday's coming up, and we are starting right now with our Black Friday special. You can take advantage of it before Friday or for a couple days afterwards. So act now. Don't put it off. 99 cents for a full month of VIP membership. That's $9 off. It's our best offer of the year. And you can go to pwtorch.com/govip and sign up. Enter coupon code BLACKFRIDAY22. That's BLACKFRIDAY22. We are compatible with all the popular podcast apps. You can get our VIP podcast feed on your phone with a click of a link in the sign-up email. If you want to use the native Apple Podcast app on your iPhone, you'll get a confirmation email when you sign up, and you click it, and you're in. No advanced settings, no password, no nothing. It's that simple. All our VIP shows on one feed, including these shows, with the ads and plugs taken out, edited out for a streamlined listening experience. pwtorch.com/govip will tell you all the details of what comes with a membership. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Enter coupon code BLACKFRIDAY22. That's BLACKFRIDAY22. Access to all our VIP podcasts, 30-plus years of archives of retro radio shows from the 90s, hundreds of them. Our podcast library dating back over 18 years. In fact, throughout the week, we run our podcast on the VIP podcast feed from 18 years ago this month, including fascinating behind-the-scenes details and news updates on my Keller Hotline, the early Bruce Mitchell audio shows, The Real Deal with Pat McNeil, post-pay-per-view roundtables, and more. You can listen to our coverage during the early era of pro wrestling podcasting throughout the week, in addition to all our current coverage, like The Fix with Todd Martin, Everything with Rich Van, and so much more. Full details at pwtorch.com/govip. pwtorch.com/govip. Enter coupon code BLACKFRIDAY22. That's BLACKFRIDAY22, and that'll take $9 off at checkout. You can apply that to a one-month sub. You can also take $9 off a three-month or one-year sub. Again, the coupon code BLACKFRIDAY22. Act fast, and right away you can hear the post-AEW Full Gear pay-per-view roundtable with Todd Martin, Tyler Sage, and me, and a special episode of Everything with Rich and Wade, where I talked with Rich Van, who was on site at Full Gear, and he gave an in-person report on that experience covering the show as a member of the media for PW Torch. And then, of course, we'll have our Survivor Series roundtable this weekend that I'll be hosting, again, VIP exclusive. pwtorch.com/govip, coupon code BLACKFRIDAY22. Now you can subscribe to our VIP podcast lineup within the Apple Podcast app using your Apple account. That's new as of March 2022. Just search PW Torch in your Apple Podcast app and you'll see the PW Torch Daily Cast logo show up. That's our free show that's been around forever. And also the PW Torch VIP Podcast logo. There is a free show every week, so subscribe even if you don't plan to go VIP and get a sample of our VIP tier programming. But if you click subscribe, then you'll become a VIP member instantly with a 3-day free trial, after which your Apple account will be charged. So you don't need to take out your credit card, debit card, or go anywhere else. If you listen to our free shows on Apple Podcasts, you are 5 seconds away from being a VIP member with a 3-day free trial. So we invite you to check it out. That includes dozens of VIP shows throughout the week, including VIP versions of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and podcasts and daily casts. All those episodes are presented to VIP members with ads and plugs removed, along with VIP exclusives like our post-pay-per-view roundtables, the Wade Keller Hotline, The Fix with Todd and Wade, Everything with Rich and Wade, and many other VIP exclusive shows. Just search PW Torch within the Apple Podcasts app. A lot of you listen to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows who haven't watched the TV show we're talking about. A good way to catch up on what happened on the TV show is with my VIP exclusive Wade Keller hotlines that follow Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. In fact, as soon as I wrap up recording the post shows with live callers and my co-host and our on-site correspondents, I send that off to the producer, and then I record the Wade Keller hotline, running down Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown start to finish. And it's not only a full rundown, a thorough rundown of what happened on the TV show, but also my analysis of the key segments and matches throughout the show, including opinions that I don't express on the post show. So as a VIP member, you can listen to that hotline first, which runs 20 to 40 minutes, and then jump into the post show with full knowledge of what happened on the TV show. That's just one benefit of being a VIP member. Another benefit is when you listen to the post show, the ads and plugs will be removed. So change up the way that you listen to our coverage of Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown by starting with the VIP Wade Keller hotline and then flowing into the Wade Keller post shows throughout the week. Go VIP. pwtorch.com/govip. pwtorch.com/govip. Rates start at $9.99 a month or get a full year for just $99. You can also get the Wade Keller hotline through our Patreon tier. That's just $6.99 a month. Details on that are at patreon.com/pwtorchvip.